Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 4 all the stanzas. O wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain, against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign. 1-5 of Psalter number 4.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of the Hebrews and thereof chapter 1. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, whom we have read together, dost sit upon thy throne in thy great majesty, and thou art the ruler over this entire universe. And that is a part of our confession. But Lord, then it is for us sometimes so hard to see it. It is so hard to believe it. When we look about us and when we see how all things do go in this world, then why is it that Satan is given such freedom in this world, that his devices being so many are permitted by Thee, O Lord, to prosper, so that Thy word that is more and more set to the side, so that everything that is against Thee seems to be taking the upper hand, so that Thy children, they more and more seem to have to go undercover in this world. So it is as Thy servant did say, that my soul also is full of troubles, and my life that draweth nigh unto the grave. I am as those that go down into the pit. O Lord, that Thou wouldst arise also in the days in which we are living, and that it may appear that Thou dost sit upon the throne of glory, and that that all things are in Thy hand. O, that Thy church in a special way may be given to see something of Thy hand, that they may be given to feel something of it within their own heart, that Thy leadings may bring to Thee, that they may be given to see something of the wisdom of Thy rod, that the afflictions and that the trials, that they may be sanctified and may be blessed, that they may experience something of Thy nearness and Thy presence and Thy communion, that they may be given more and more to despise the world and every former friend, that they may feel the rightness, the goodness of Thee in all Thy doings here below, in all Thy providences, that they are leading them more and more to Thy blessed footstool and unto that throne of grace, that they are instruction for their soul upon that road to a never-ending eternity, drawing more and more away from all that is cleaved unto in this world. Lord, that Thou wouldst visit Thy own children, could it please Thee in the days in which we are living, to give an increase in their number, that it may become evident in the midst of this world, that Thy kingdom indeed is coming, that Thy will that is being done, that Thou wouldst not deal with us after our many sins as nations and as churches, but that Thou may use Thy word and providences to bring many unto a true conversion. Wilt Thou grant it amongst young and old also in the midst of us? For Thou knowest all our hearts and all our lives, that we are cleavers to everything that is vain and carnal here below. And then there is no man that has power to raise himself up even a single sigh or a single cry to Thee. But Thou, to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, art able to command of Thy Spirit even in these very moments, that He would descend also amongst us even in this very hour, to grant that life that alone can come from Thee. O Lord, we beseech it of Thee, that as Thou sittest upon that right hand of power, that hell itself may be robbed of its subjects, and that Thy kingdom may grow, that 144,000 may be brought in, that men may come to understand, and may be brought upon their knees in their inner chambers, and may be given truly to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. caused those that have left their father's house to consider even in the swine pit in which that they have brought themselves, that they may remember from whence that they have come, that they may have a desire to rise up once again and to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. O Lord, that thou may be looking even from thy dwelling place for those that may return once again, that thou may be looking for the effect of thy holy word. O send it forth then with power, that it may have free course in this thy holy day. Or it is a day given, set aside by thee. And may it be also used by thee in the midst of us as a congregation, as a denomination, wherever that thy word is brought over the length and breadth of this whole world, to increase the number of thy truly sent servants that must bring thy word. Then it is not according to the flesh of a man, but where that it is impossible from the side of a man. Then thou wilt thrust forth into that vineyard despite all our objections. O Lord, that thou thyself may do so also in the days in which we are living. Remember all those that are to bring that word. Also the students, one may be also amongst us in this afternoon, that thou may remember him and all of them together, that thy word may be effectual to the bringing forth of life from the dead, and for making lively that which is fallen into the deadness in their condition. O give in the life of thy children thy hand in by the hole of the door to leave a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock. O that thou wouldst raise thy people up again. And this day in which it is so silent that it may be heard here and there also amongst us, come and hear all ye that fear God. And I will tell you what he has done unto my soul, and that it may also be among the children and our young people, the rising generation, the future of the church. O Lord, that thou may work with might and power. Give in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. O do keep from the ways of sin, and where Satan does draw with so much power. O that thou thyself may give the resistance when man is not able, and that they may be given to remember thee. O Lord, that thou may raise up converted fathers and mothers, converted office bearers, converted teachers for our schools, and all that must take active parts in the future, that there may be a living grace that is showing itself forth day by day as an example amongst us as a congregation and denomination, and that our youth and our children may not be starved of that example that was in the days of our forefathers. Lord, that thou wouldst give it also amongst the old ones in our midst. O thy power that is so very great. And when we have an heart that is so very, very hard, O Lord, when we have our whole life long rejected thee and had nothing but a form of religion, when the fears may increase in the end of our life for that death that is creeping up upon us, oh, then it can be that they do have to say that it is my own fault because I have served the world all my life long, and now I am fearful. But Lord, thou art able to break that hard and stony heart in one moment to show thy power and give that true humility. Wilt thou look upon all that need thee in special ways? They have been laid before thee in this morning hour. Wilt thou supply for them in this day and in the week that is to come, if thou wilt spare the lives of each and every one of us, that thou may remember all that rule and that reign over us. Lord, wilt thou thyself bring thy word back into the foreground, that it may be upon the places where the laws of our land are made and where the judgments are given upon the judgment seat, that men may fear before thee. Look upon us, O Lord, in this afternoon hour. Could it please thee to send thy Spirit in this hour? Oh, then we are so dependent upon thee, and then without thee we can do nothing. Oh, that thou thyself would show us a favor that is so undeserved from our side. What can we say? Oh, Lord, we have sinned it all away, so that there is no merit to be received by us. But then there is merit on the side of thy only begotten Son. Oh, that we may be given to know that love of Christ, that is a love that is passing knowledge. It is so above and outside of our knowledge, but we can but know such a very small part of it. Oh, Lord, that there may be a desire, a cry, in the heart of young and old together, that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, that we may be given to contemplate and to meditate upon what these things are, and that the desire may be worked and may be burned within our hearts. Be with us, O Lord. Do it for thy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 302 all the stanzas. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 302, and the last collection today, is for the property purchase.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, elections in a country are always of the greatest interest to all. Why? Because they have a great effect upon all. We think especially of the elections for such places as the seat of the prime minister or the premier. They are places, they are seats of very great authority. Even the elections that are taking place in the United States in this year, they will affect us here in Canada, and they are especially affecting those of us who may also be citizens of that country. Everyone is looking for the rulers that they may judge according to their own interests. What a wonder that was for God's people when men such as an Asa or such as an Hezekiah were placed upon the throne. But how often do we consider who is now sitting in that highest place of authority over all the kingdoms of this world? Then he was not elected by men, but he was elected by God himself. Then he does not have to vie for a position in this world, nor have to hear any of the opinions of opposing parties that he may make decisions in this world. But he speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. Lord of lords and King of kings, and according to whose interest does he rule? And that is all contained in the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith, which we wish to consider something of in this afternoon with the Lord's help out of Lord's Day 19, only the questions 50 and 51. Lord's Day 19, question 50. Why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Question 51, what profit is this glory of Christ our head unto us? Answer, first, that by his Holy Spirit he pours out heavenly graces upon us, his members, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about faith in an enthroned Christ. First, the meaning of this enthronement, and second, the profit of this enthronement. Faith in an enthroned Christ, an enthroned mediator, the meaning and the profit of this enthronement. Why is it added and sitteth at the right hand of God? Why is it added? Because some do say it is not so necessary that this is added, because it already says that Christ has ascended into heaven and this ascension into heaven and the sitting at the right hand of God, well, they are speaking just about the same thing. But they are not speaking about the same thing. How can we know it? Because it is possible that we have the one without the other. We know that Enoch, he was taken by the Lord into heaven, but we do not read that he was given a place at the right hand of the Father. We read of Elijah that he has ascended in a chariot of fire, and we do not read that he received a place at the right hand of the Father. Also, the angels, we know they have ascended, but the apostle says here, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Thus, the sitting at the right hand of the Father, that is not the same as his ascension, as the second step in his exaltation, but it is a distinct step of his exaltation, namely the third step, sitting at the right hand of God. That is a very special honor, and that is given only to the Son of God to sit at the right hand, and that is a place of very great honor. How must we explain this sitting at the right hand? That is not in a literal way. That is, Christ, he is not, boys and girls, sitting literally, physically, as we hear in the expression, at the right hand of his Father. How can we know this? Well, because God is not physical. Because God the Father, he is a spirit. Because he does not have a physical body, and thus he does not have a physical right hand. Thus, this is for us an expression. It is an expression of condescension. That means that the Lord, he is condescending to us, and that he may show something unto us of his only begotten Son. What will the Lord express to man? What will the Lord express to his church for the sake of their comfort, for their well-being here in this world? By that expression that he has ascended and that he is sitting at that right hand of God. Well, we know, children, that Solomon has given a place to his mother. It was a very special place when she came in, and that was the place at his right hand. What does that mean? Well, that is a place of a special honor. The man of the right hand. Do you so honor your mother, boys and girls? Do you so honor your mother, young people, when you become older and you want to do the things that you want to do, and you have your own will, yes, but do you so honor still your mother as that great king did honor his mother? If there is any love in our heart to Christ by the Lord, then we have a desire to contemplate him in the place of his glory, in his great honor. Solomon says, go forth, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, and behold King Solomon with the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Ye daughters of Jerusalem, that is, ye people of the Lord, behold him. Behold him, people of the Lord, with his crown. The crown wherewith he was crowned by his own father. Behold him that is in his glory. That exaltation that is not an exaltation of his divine nature. In his divine nature, the Son of God had always that same place with his Father. It is said of the Son that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thus, the exaltation of Christ and that sitting on the right hand of God, what has that to do with? Well, that has to do with Christ in his office. That has to do with Christ in his mediatorial office. That is an office which is respecting both, of course, his divine and his human nature. But it is in that office that, if we may say it in that way, Christ has not always been equal unto his Father. Because it is an office which was given unto Christ. But now, in that third step of his exaltation, the Father himself is placing Christ as the mediator at his right hand. That is, as it were, you know how it was with Pharaoh, the place that he has given unto Joseph, that he may rule that whole kingdom. Then the king, he takes off that ring from his finger, and he gives it unto one whom he will have to rule for him. So that every word of Joseph, when he did speak, that was as the word of Pharaoh himself. Thus, God the Father, in setting Christ at his right hand, did make him in that office of mediator to be at his right hand as the ruler over the entire universe. Why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? Because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might appear as head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Was not Christ always the head of his church? Indeed, always. But as our fathers say here, Christ did not always appear as the head of his church. Indeed, he is, our children know, prophet, priest, and king, and was king also when he was in the world. And that kingship and the power of that kingship that has shown itself forth while he was in the world. There was no excuse for the Jewish nation, because they may behold daily that Son of God, the Lord Jesus, had power over Satan himself. That he, with one word, he was able to command the devils, and they would have to go out of a man. Also, we can read how Christ showed his power over death, how he showed his power over disease. And yet the eyes of that, the people of that nation, they were blinded. Of course, in his humility, as we heard something of this morning, then that power that was also somewhat hidden. That is, that kingship did not show itself forth as it would eventually. We read he came in the form of a servant. And when he came in the form of a servant, then he was despised and he was rejected of men. The Jewish people, they were ashamed of him. They have rejected him in his kingship. They have said specifically, "We have no king but Caesar." Indeed, if we see him standing there in the court of Pilate, then we can understand in a human way why that there is no man that could believe that Christ was king. Pilate, he said to the Lord Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Christ says, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And it was for this purpose, he said, that he has come into the world that he may testify unto the truth. He could say no different, though that it did appear to be so different. He was then mocked. He was mocked as king. We know that he was given a crown, a crown of thorns. He was given a very weak scepter that was a reed. And men did bow before him after they had placed upon him a purple robe, thus mocked in his kingship. And Pharaoh could not help but to mock with him further, even in his crucifixion, and not only to mock with Christ and his kingship, but to mock with the true people of the Lord and their king, when he has placed a superscription over his him, saying, "This is the King of the Jews." That was in his humiliation. Thus, we say, it did not appear so. And now, in his exaltation, at the right hand of God, in that third step of his exaltation, then his kingship that is made to appear. That is, our fathers say, that he is made to appear as the head of his church, as the king of his church. This place, that is a place of great power, the right hand, that is a place of very great authority, and that place of power and authority that has especially to do with the mediatorial office of Christ. That is, that office which he was given by the Father, that he may mediate between God and sinners. That is, by this third step of his exaltation, the Father, he is making it evident that that work of mediation, to make it right, that is, between him and that creature that had fallen away from him, that work of redemption, that is receiving the highest place among all the works of the Father. That the works of the Father in His creation, and also all the works of providence, they are all made subject to that great work of mediation, subservient to it, so that they will altogether serve it and bring to pass that great work that Christ was given unto the Father to do. Thus David, he speaks about the saving strength of His right hand. This the Father shows to be His highest delight. A delight that is infinitely surpassing all His other works. And therefore He did set Christ at His right hand to rule. That is, to manage everything in the whole universe to bring about that end, that purpose for which that He had sent Him into this world, by whom we read, the Father governs all things. We, of course, are very interested, as we said, when there is an election, then we want to know who this person is. What is his character? What are her interests? What has that person done for a vocation? Why? Because all those things, they are going to have an influence on how that rule will be when he does receive that authority and that power. David, he was, boys and girls, what? He was a shepherd. Well, shepherd. He was, in his youth, had the fear of the Lord. Do you have the fear of the Lord also in your heart in your youth? The Lord, He instructed him in his youth. And the Lord prepared him. He prepared him for a great office in the days of his youth. Is the Lord also preparing among our children? Is the Lord also preparing among our young people? Men who may receive an office within His church in the time to come, that also ought to be our supplication before the Lord. But David, the Lord instructed him in his youth to care for those sheep. Then he was not looking for himself, but he went out, boys and girls, against a lion, and he went out against a bear, and he did it all in the fear of the Lord in the days of his youth already. And we see later on that people of Israel, they were, before he was ever king, they were already living in his heart as those sheep. So that he received that courage from the Lord to go against that mighty enemy. And then we see when the Lord made David king, that this character of David and that fear of the Lord that lived in his heart, that did characterize the entire rule of David, so that there was not an enemy that David feared, and that whole reign of David that was characterized, the Lord Himself says, by blood, because he had fought many wars, that is to deliver all that those sheep of the Lord against all of those enemies. Solomon, that was a different reign. We know Solomon, he had been given by the Lord much wisdom, and that wisdom that extended to many things in this world, and we see the stamp of this also upon the entire reign of Solomon, also in many external things, and also in the many proverbs that he was given to write. Thus we say that that character and those interests, they are showing themselves forth when that man, he is given that right hand of power, that authority. And who is it now that God does set at his right hand to make him to be the governor of the entire universe, that is the mediator? That is the mediator. That is, he who has given his life for the church, even to the very end. Thus, when the Father sets him at his right hand, the Father speaks, and the Father shows, as it were, what he would have now to be the central in the ruling of his entire kingdom. Else he had never chosen Christ to sit at his right hand. When the Father placed him there, then he would have all men to reverence him. He would have all men to worship him as mediator. Paul, he says, for God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, whether things in heaven or things in the earth or things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. In the state of his humiliation, then the enemy was permitted to have power against him. But in the state of his exaltation, that would not be permitted anymore. We can read that John saw him in that state, and that he saw him, his eyes, he says, they were as a flame of fire. Never have heard that when the Lord Jesus was in the state of his humiliation. The state of his humiliation that was necessary that he may reconcile God to sinners, that he may fulfill all those conditions, and that he may take away that reproach that was living in the heart of God, respectfully speaking, against that church. It is in the state of his exaltation that Christ, he must now reconcile sinners unto God. For this, a great power is necessary. By the sending of his Spirit, he will accomplish it, and that is, the Lord willing, for next time. But no one will be able to resist this power of him who is set on the right hand of God, the power of the mediator to bring that rebellious people back again unto the Father. John speaks of him about as sitting upon the throne. That is, that one part of his work that was finished, from which he may now rest. But we can read that Stephen, he saw him standing on the right hand of God. He was ready to receive him. Thus, there is a labor that Christ, he still must perform in that mediatorial office after his ascension. And this labor, that is a labor of power. It is a labor of authority. So that power and the authority, that irresistible power of Christ, that he has given on the right hand of God, that will be felt and that will be experienced here on the earth. How? Let us sing first. 129, 1 through 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. 1 through 5 of Psalter 129. profit is this glory of Christ our head unto us first, that by His Holy Spirit He pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members, and then that by His power He defends and preserves us against all enemies. That is our second thought, the profit of this enthroned mediator. And our fathers, they speak here about two things. What do they have both to do with? They have both to do with this mediator. He has one work left. He has one work left as that exalted mediator, ruler at the right hand of God. And what is that work? That is to bring in His church. That is actually to claim His inheritance, which He has earned, which was promised unto Him by His Father. And now He only needs yet to receive it. And to that end, our fathers say that two things are necessary. First, that by His power, that by His Holy Spirit, He pours out heavenly graces upon us, His members. Heavenly graces. Does not say earthly benefits. Does not say temporal blessings. Although the bread and water for His church that will be sure to the very end of their life. But the kingdom of Christ, that is not a kingdom of this world. And thus it says, heavenly graces, that is, spiritual gifts, is that our desire in the first place? That we may be filled with all the fullness of God? Did that make your heart to burn in this morning hour? That you said, O Lord, could I also be filled with all the fullness of God? If the Lord gives you a new heart, children, young people, that will be your first desire. Is it not such a wonder that it is possible for a human being, that it is possible yet for fallen, rebellious mankind, who has sinned himself so far away from that blessed communion with Him, that it is still possible that he can be filled with all the fullness of God? Those are now heavenly graces that our fathers are speaking about here. It says, heavenly graces upon whom? Upon us, it says, His members, that is, His church. They are chosen even from the foundation of the world, that by His Holy Spirit, He pours out heavenly graces. He pours them out. That is speaking about the abundance. And that is speaking about the abundance that belongs to a king. The measure, you say, did He not always give heavenly graces from the beginning of the world? Because it was for Adam and for Eve, and it was for Abel and so on. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was always. But now our fathers, they speak about the pouring out of those heavenly graces. And those heavenly graces, they will be increased according to the perfection of the glory that king has now received, because he is now set on the right hand of God. And he is set there not merely in his divine and human nature, but he is set there specifically as the mediator of between God and his church. So we see that those graces, they begin to be poured out. Then he is seated upon his throne in that day of Pentecost, when those graces began to go as never before beyond that nation of the Jews, even unto all the nations in the entire world. Heavenly graces, what are they? Well, we can read what they were. The Lord has given to his servants gifts, special gifts, that he may carry out that mediatorial work. They had gifts to speak. We heard it, gifts, tongues, to speak in the other languages, but also the gift of speaking, the gift of understanding. They had the gift of prophecy. We can read later they had the gifts of miracles. And that was all for the building up of that church, that kingdom of Christ, in which Christ, he is showing forth his mediatorial power and showing himself as the head of his church and bringing his church in unto himself in a way that has never happened before in the history of the whole world. Heavenly graces, that is to his servants. But those heavenly graces, they go much further because they belong especially even to that spiritual life itself. Thus, think of those 300 on that day of 3,000 on that day of Pentecost, when they have cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That is a heavenly grace. Or can you give it in your own heart? Say that maybe, young people. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to give it to myself. Go ahead. Try it. You can put the words in your mouth, but you know what you will find? You will find you cannot do anything to your heart. You try it. You try it hard, children. Try it to change your heart and find out how dead you are. And then you will begin to understand that that is now a heavenly grace. A heavenly grace when the Lord is shown out of heaven at a Saul of Tarsus, and when he laid his whole life open in the light, so that he showed unto him his whole life, and he showed to and exposed that fact that all his Pharisaic religion that was nothing but enmity against the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a heavenly grace. When by the light of God, a man, he cannot be hid anymore. And he is laying there upon the ground. And he has only to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Heavenly graces for dead people, religious dead people too. Lydia. Then suddenly, in one moment, when she is sitting under the word, then the heart goes open. The heart goes open. And suddenly there is place. Suddenly there is room, so that she did hear the word of God as she had never heard it before in her life. Oh, did we ever experience something of those heavenly graces? Think of the jailer. Think about that Ethiopian eunuch, the queen of Candace. How that under that preaching, the explanation of God's servant Philip, how that the Lord is opening by His Spirit who that the Lord Jesus Christ is. That His eyes go open. And that his ears go open. That His heart goes open. And that He may say from the bottom of His heart, by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Our fathers, they talk about prophet. What a prophet, is it not? The prophet of Christ sitting at the right hand of God. When that power and that authority as mediator of His church is going forth from Him. Do you think that is profit too? Or do we only measure profit by dollars and cents in this world? Christ as mediator, He is looking for a different profit. He is looking for His profit, which He merited. He is looking for the robbing of hell. He is looking to bring in His own subjects. And then, that by His power He defends and preserves us against all enemies. That is now the last part of that work. And when Satan, he is robbed of his subjects, then we become a congregation, his enemy. And we will know it. And he has also many accomplices. And we will know that too. Because there will be enemies within, and read the church history. And then we will see that there will also be enemies without. And we can read it in the Bible from the beginning to the end. They have one goal, that is to destroy that church of God. We will know it. David, he said, I will now one day perish at the hand of Saul. And God's church is not a stranger of this. And David had the promise of the Lord. Are you a stranger of this? That you think that everything that the Lord He has given you in your life, that you say, I still am afraid. That with all those things, I cannot deny it, sure. But I am afraid that I am still going to perish. But congregation, the gates of hell, they cannot prevail against this enthroned mediator. He is sitting in power and He is ruling. He is ruling over the entire universe for the good of His church and for His own good, for His own glory. And that is the reason, not because of the people, that is the reason that He, as our fathers say, He defends and preserves His people against all their enemies. I believe in Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven and who sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Oh, if that weak and that tempted remnant of God could only day by day, as they travel through this world, believe that He is sitting there at that right hand of God. Oh, may you ever see Him in His power at His right hand. May you ever see Him sitting and doing the good pleasure of the Father for the sake of the glory and the honor of God. It is revealed in the weakness. It is revealed in the frailty of that church of God. In their weakness. Is it a grief to you that you are on the outside of that kingdom? Is it a grief to you that you say, I am unconverted? Can you not change it? Oh, he is sitting on the right hand of power. He is given that place as mediator in order to bring a church back unto his Father once again. That is now the purpose. That is why his Father has given him rule. He is there in your nature. Never upon this world, when one had approached unto him, did he turn him away? Has he changed? Oh, he has only changed in the appearance of his power. Today, it appears so. More than ever, in the history of the world, the last dispensation, when the greatest part of that church he is bringing in. I believe in Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven and who sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the mediator between God and sinners. Nothing is able to prevent him gathering in his church. It is an irresistible power. If you have a heart congregation that is as hard, you say, as the nether millstone, it cannot be broken. He is sitting at that right hand of power. There is no sin, people of the Lord. There is no corruption. There is no fountain bringing forth mire and dirt that is able to prevent that church from entering in. The Father, in placing Christ at his right hand, he has expressed that it is his highest delight to show grace, to show mercy. All the creation, all providence, that is all subject to that one work of Christ on the right hand of his Father, in order that he may now achieve that highest purpose that he has come to do, so that people, they may say with Jacob, all these things are against me. But those beloved Benjamins, they are demanded by that chief ruler, not in his foolishness, not in his ignorance, but they are demanded in his wisdom. Every trial, every affliction that is in the hand of this enthroned mediator, there is not a dog that is able to move his tongue against the enthroned Christ. Everything is working together for good, that he may finish his purpose. And the very enemies of God's children, they are in his hand. He's using them to give you instruction. He is using them to humble you. He is using them to bring you to his footstool, and then they will be destroyed. and you will be delivered. I believe in Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Do we believe it, congregation? Do we believe it also when we bend our knees? And do we believe it when we have to bring our petitions before Him? Newton, he says, thou comest before a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. That none can ever ask too much. That is what he said. Open thy mouth wide, wide, his king, wide, because his gifts, they are so numerous, in his heart, that is so bountiful, and that is so merciful. Open it wide, he says, and I will fill it. I will, if thou please, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieve. O congregation, do we believe that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us to believe it, that we may leave this place not in despair, but that we may leave this place with a little courage. Our sins rise up against us, but it is a price that has been paid. It is a work that has been finished. It is justice that has been satisfied. And thou sittest now to complete thy work. Oh, give us altogether then a place in our inner chamber, a little courage. Though and that our sins rise up to the heavens, though we are so undeserving, though and that we cannot help ourselves, that we may be given in this afternoon hour place to look up unto thee, to say, Lord, convert me and grant me what I cannot give unto myself and what I do not deserve. Oh, give it, Lord. Give it to young and old. Give it to the children. Give it to the grandparents. Give it to all of us together. Remember us in this rest of this day. And wilt thou keep us from sinning against thee? Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help those that must bring thy word. Our brother student, be thou on his right and on his left hand. And remember us also when we will be in our homes, and that we may profit from that which we may read, and that thou may look on us in the week to come. Be with us in our consistory meeting. Wilt thou supply for all in the ways of this life, in the fathers in their places, the mothers in their homes, keep the children and our youth all in safety from a sudden and an unprepared death. And that thy word, on the first day of the week, that thou hast given to come unto us in this morning and in this afternoon, may go with us. Oh, a little meditation, a little thought of it, because we are so earthly and we are so carnal. Lord, remember us. Forgive our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 431 stanzas 3 through 6. Hear, my children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone. Worship and adore me. 3 through 6 of Psalter 431. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.